My name is Felipe Canali, and in this podcast, I speak with 43-year-old Brazilian scientist Vanessa Pena. She currently manages clinical trials for new cancer treatments that offer hope to patients with limited options. Vanessa began her career as a dentist in Brazil, but decided to change her life to help even more people through science. To achieve her dream, she sent personalized emails to 60 labs around the world, explaining how her background could contribute to their work. 5 replied, 2 made offers, and she chose the University of Melbourne, where she completed a PhD in neuroscience. Her scientific work quickly gained recognition and earned her permanent residence via the Global Talent Visa, now called the National Innovation Visa. Along the way, while she was still pursuing her PhD, Vanessa was diagnosed with a rare condition called PIRHSP5A, a progressive disease that has led her to use a wheelchair for the past 7 years. She's the 30th person in the world with this genetic condition. Despite the challenges of being an immigrant in a new country, a woman in a male-dominated field, and living with a rare health condition, nothing has stopped Vanessa from making her mark in science and advocating for a more inclusive society. Vanessa, thanks for chatting with us here at SBS Portuguese. Let's start from the beginning. What made you decide to leave Brazil and pursue a PhD in neuroscience in Australia?
I worked as a dentist for 6 years in Brazil, but I felt I could do more to help people. So I wanted to explore new possibilities that led me to study biotechnology and then a master's in tissue engineering. And I spent around a year researching how to get an international scholarship and learning all about the application criteria, for example. So it was a long process that required patience and also determination, I would say.
And how did you go about applying for opportunities overseas?
I mailed around 60 labs all around the world, and each email was personalized. So I read the lab articles carefully and made sure to understand how my background would fit into their work before reaching out. So sending the same message to every lab simply doesn't work, and most of people do that. The more specific and personal you are, the better your chances are as well. Out of those emails, only 5 labs responded and 2 offered me a place. And I chose University of Melbourne 1, where I completed my PhD in neuroscience.
And after completing your PhD, how did you enter the clinical research field?
Even before finishing my PhD, I started applying for jobs just to learn how the system worked here in Australia. After a while, I got my first role. It was an administrative job at the beginning in a pharmaceutical. It was basic, almost like an assistant position, mainly handling documents. I had to swallow my pride and take the first opportunity available, and I have no trouble doing that. So I learned that a bit of humility goes a long way, especially when you are starting over in a new country.
And now you have been leading clinical trials. Tell me more about this journey.
I currently manage clinical trials for a new prostate cancer treatment. Clinical research is essential because it's the foundation of evidence-based medicine. Many patients in these trials have exhausted all the treatment options. It's a huge responsibility, but it's also very rewarding to contribute to potentially life-changing therapies.
And what can you share about this new clinical trial that you are currently leading about prostate cancer?
So the trial uses antibodies to deliver radiation directly to the prostate cancer cells, sparing healthy tissue. These antibodies, they target a protein called PSMA, which is highly expressed in prostate cancer. This approach allows the radiation to hit tumors with great precision, even those that are too small to show up on imaging scans, for example.
You were living a comfortable life in Brazil, working as a dentist for 6 years. What was it like starting over in a new country and in a new academic environment?
It was both exciting and very challenging. I had to adapt to a new culture, a new way of studying and living. At the same time, my health started to change as I was losing mobility in my legs during my PhD. Balancing the demands of a PhD with my health was difficult, but I was determined to keep going.
Can you tell us more about your health condition?
I first noticed trouble running when I was around 23 years old. I saw many neurologists over the years, but it took me 14 years to get a proper diagnosis. Eventually, I had to sequence my genome to understand what was happening. I was diagnosed with a rare condition called HSP5A. I'm the third person in the world with this diagnosis, at least in the scientific literature. So what happened is that my mobility gradually worsened. So I started using a cane, and then I started using two crutches. And for the past 7 years, I've been using a wheelchair.
How did you cope with this change?
When I came to Australia, I was with my ex-husband, who also uses a wheelchair. He helped me learning the basics of navigating life this way. So at first, I used his spare wheelchair. Many people actually assume that using a wheelchair is easy, but it's really difficult. There are stairs, ramps, or some steps. Many obstacles everywhere. So I had to figure all this out by myself without any formal rehab or support. So it, to me, I think it required a lot of resilience, to be honest.
And on top of everything, you were still doing physical lab work.
Yes, I was still very active in the lab, doing surgeries on animals and carrying heavy boxes with a big cart, all while using a wheelchair. So, for example, the doors were heavy, the so-called airlocked doors, which added another level of difficulty. So it was physically exhausting and emotionally draining, but I just refused to let it stop me. So my job actually doesn't require me, for example, to run a marathon. So why shouldn't I be able to do it like, you know, anyone else?
Vanessa, you achieved your permanent residence here in Australia thanks to your work as a scientist in the clinical trial field. How did that go?
I applied later in 2021 through the Global Talent Visa. Now, I think it's the National Innovation Visa. Clinical research is in high demand here, but there aren't many people who has this specific background. So I believe my work and experience played a major role in securing this permanent residency. And I think most importantly, I completed the entire application process on my own.
And why did you choose to handle the process by yourself?
I spoke to many immigration agents and lawyers, but most weren't well informed about how to apply for residency as a person with a disability. That lack of understanding pushed me to do it by my own. It was challenging, but I wanted to make sure everything was done properly and according to my needs as well.
And talking about discrimination, based on your experience, how would you compare inclusion in Brazil and in Australia?
Discrimination exists in both countries, but it's something that I continue to face and also navigate. In Brazil, it's more obvious as people speak to me, for example, in a baby voice or ignore me, talking to the person accompanying me instead. In Brazil, from my point of view, people with disability are often seen as incapable. In Australia, it's more subtle. Like, looks or comments are still there, but it's more subtle. In Australia, the system focuses on rehab and supporting people to be productive members of the society. The mindset between both countries is very different for sure. Here in Australia, I like to believe I'm seen as someone who overcomes challenges.
Vanessa, thank you so much for having this chat here with us. What advice would you give to someone thinking of changing careers or moving to a new country?
You need a long-term plan, a backup plan as well. So in my opinion, things rarely go exactly as expected. Focus on taking small steps and celebrating small wins. For me, it took 10 years from, you know, to go from dentistry to getting a permanent residency here. So persistence and focus, they are everything. Don't entrust your future to others without understanding the basics, your visa options, your career paths. The more you delegate, the riskier it gets. So no one will look out for your future quite like you will. It's about being resilient and proactive.